Thank y'all. Have a seat. I'm going to pray at the end, so we'll dispense with that for the moment. As you can tell from the song, I'm not quite ready to let go of Christmas just yet, although when I asked Jean, thank you very much, Jean Westfall, for playing for us, she said she was so ready for Christmas to be over. So, we have one view and the other view. I feel like since Epiphany doesn't actually come till Friday, which celebrates the coming of the Magi to worship the Christ child, that I've got two more days of Christmas season that I can revel in. So that's why we sang that song. I'm just going to give y'all kind of a little theological overview and then a story about the Christmas season. Our pastors, for those of you who are not members of this church, preached a series of sermons over Advent about the priestly blessing in number 6, which I'm going to close with, so you don't have to look it up right now. But that series culminated in Thomas Daniel's sermon on Christmas Eve, which I was fortunate enough to get to hear. He talked about the difference between knowing and experiencing, and the example he gave was chocolate. I know there are some chocolate lovers in here because we can't keep it in the baskets. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything because you may be embarrassed about it, but that's okay. And I know you guys understand the difference between knowing and experience. You can know all of the data, all of the information, all of the historical points about chocolate. And trust me, Thomas went on and on and on. I mean, he really views chocolate as a little piece of holiness. But you don't experience chocolate until you eat it. And his point was that knowing data and facts about God is not the same thing as experiencing God. That when Jesus came, he took on our flesh and he experienced everything that we experience. So we have a God who understands and who knows us. And his point about experiencing God really made me ponder. A lot had been happening in our Christmas season. It was an odd season for a variety of reasons. And I had a lot of stuff stored up in my heart that needed pondering. And so that was the underpinning that he gave me in order to ponder all of these things that had been happening. How had I experienced God during the Christmas season? And when I sat down and thought about it, out in West Texas, where, as a friend of mine says, there's nothing to do but ponder at the ranch, what I realized is I had experienced God in many unexpected ways and in many unexpected places. So I want to share a couple of those with you this morning, just as an example as y'all go off into your small groups to reconnect. One of the ways that I experienced God was through the hospitality of a friend who invited us to Christmas Eve dinner so that Harold and I did not have to go back to the ranch and come back. That was an experience of God's hospitality. I experienced God's tender, loving care and consideration for me through a man named Gilbert who came to replace the wood floors in our great room for the fourth time. That's a whole nother story. The point is, I realized later that I had experienced God in Gilbert. Believe it or not, I had a very strong experience of God at the 4 o'clock preschool worship service on Christmas Eve. Now, it was chaos. And as one grandfather was heard to say, yes, it lasted blessedly only 22 minutes. But I experienced the joy and the pleasure of God that evening as those children were praising him. I could feel him smile. That was an experience of God. So I want to share with y'all as you go into your small groups kind of the most powerful experience that I had of God over this season. And it happened quite unexpectedly in a very unexpected place. As many of you know, Paige Harris and Ann Wheeler and I are privileged to go over to the Women's Houses of Texas Reach Out Ministry every month for a Bible study. for those of you who are not familiar with Texas Reach Out, it is a ministry for women, well, for people, in our case women, who are being released from prison. And they need help transitioning back into the real world. They don't generally have families who will help them transition. They're, by and large, estranged from their children. They need clothes. They need jobs. They need a safe place to stay. They need medical care. They are a population that goes pretty unnoticed among most of us. And we had actually, because of the calendar, canceled our meeting with them in December, which was fine with everybody. But for some reason, I found myself with a free evening. You know how that works? And so I called up and asked if I could come. And what I did was I suggested we skip our regular Bible study and we just read the Christmas story and be together. And they thought that was a great idea. Margie, who's in charge, thought it was a great idea. So I got there, and Margie had Mexican hot chocolate simmering on the stove. Now, some of you know what that is because I can hear it in you. It's that rich, dark cinnamon, vanilla, just holiness, as Thomas would say. And I bet I drank four cups of it. I was instantly transported back to my grandmother's kitchen when I smelled that. It was so good. So she had made hot chocolate. Someone else had brought cookies. I had brought something. A third person had brought popcorn. And there was a tree over against the back window, very small, simply decorated with kind of handmade ornaments. It has seven gifts underneath the tree. So I had walked into a party without knowing it. It was fun. We settled in a circle, much like your small groups, and we read the Christmas story, which I was informed only comes out of Luke. You can forget what happens, you know, in Matthew. So we started, and I took the first turn, and then I handed my Bible to a lady named Karen. She read beautifully, and her portion of it included the Magnificat. And when she got to the first lines of the Magnificat, she teared up. And tears began streaming down her face. It took a moment for her to collect herself. I'm going to cry through this whole thing, so y'all just get used to it. But she got herself collected, and she finished. And as she finished, what I heard was her voice caressing every word of that song. She handed the Bible next to Becky, who was very hesitant but eager. She stumbled over a few words, but she was very excited to read her part. And then she handed the Bible to Monique. Monique is not bigger than a minute. She must not weigh 80 pounds dripping wet. And she has a very high, childlike voice that sounded like a bell when she read. She turned to Stephanie, who had run to get her reading glasses because she wanted to participate. Stephanie is barely literate, but her deep, black, strong voice persevered, and she read Simon's prophecy like she was a prophet herself. Leah and Lisa finished reading, even though they both had sore throats. And they closed with that great line, Mary pondered, Mary treasured all of these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor both with God and man. You could have heard a pin drop in that room. Because it was like hearing the Christmas story for the first time. Which led us into sharing about when we had each heard the Christmas story for the first time. Now, there were many of us who were raised in Christian homes and had had it read to us periodically, you know, every year. But Karen said she knew it, but she experienced it for the first time when she went to a performance with her father, who was a pastor. And she heard this young soprano sing Mary's Magnificat. She said, it just came alive for me. Another of the ladies heard the story in Vacation Bible School when she was 13 and her grandmother dragged her there. Hear that, grandmothers? She said she started out in the back with all the other kids causing trouble, but the lady who was telling the story had all these props, and she kind of got intrigued by all the props. And she said, pretty soon I moved my chair to the front of the room because I didn't want to miss a detail about that story. It was so amazing. And then the last one shared, and I'm going to read to you what she said. She said, I grew up in a family that was into drugs, sex, and violence. I didn't know nothing about Christmas, except some people got presents, and sometimes there were decorations places. She said, I was in prison, waiting to be processed. They don't let you have nothing in a prison cell except a Bible. I'd never seen a Bible. I'd never opened a Bible, but I picked it up to read it because I was bored. And I started in Luke. And I read about the birth of this baby. And I started to cry because I realized he came for me. That story grabbed me and has not let go of me since. And again, you could hear a pin drop in the room. I didn't quite know how to proceed after that, since we're supposed to be in charge of this group, and clearly I was not. But Monique, the one with the childlike bell voice, got us into a discussion about the scandalous nature of the story. And you can imagine, from various and sundry backgrounds, they had really interesting observations about what was actually going on with Mary and Joseph as they were traveling and had all the difficulties. So we finished that, and then they wanted to open their presents. Each woman had one present given by a sponsor church. I don't know what church it was, but they were very excited, and they handed them all out. They all opened them at the same time. They got one of them got a warm scarf. One of them got gift clothes for a pair of shoes, a bathrobe, a pair of slippers, hand lotion, a tiny little suitcase, and my personal favorite, pit bull toiletries. Now, I was a little dubious about perfume with the name Pit Bull on it, but they assured me he was a very famous rapper, and so it had to be good. And actually, it did smell pretty lovely. And then we closed with prayer. We closed with a time of prayer. They prayed very simple prayers, prayers from the heart, prayers of praise for God's goodness, prayers of gratitude for people's generosity in giving them those simple gifts, prayers of thankfulness for a safe place to be. But most of their prayers were focused on other people. They prayed for those who didn't have a safe place to sleep and who didn't have a family to experience Christmas with. They prayed for reconciliation with family members, and they prayed for those who didn't know the Christmas story. They prayed for God's blessing on Texas Reach Out Ministry and for God's favor. Those ladies, recently released from prison, owning nothing, poor, in need of so much, broken, unwanted, discarded, an embarrassment and a nuisance to most people. Yet they were humbly dependent on the Lord for Him to provide even a pair of socks, and they were so grateful for life. They became the face of Mary and Joseph for me. Poor, disenfranchised, rejected, and relegated to an out-of-the-way stable where the best they could offer God was a feed trough. The Christmas story will never be the same for me ever again. God came down. He put on our flesh. He became Emmanuel, God with us. Ladies, that is good news in the best sense of that word. So I experienced God's humility and magnificent sacrificial love in those ladies of Texas Reach Out. And I will never go through a Christmas season or read the Gospel of Luke the same ever again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word has the power to transform and to reach into every corner of our lives, to every part of us that is broken and is unwanted and discarded, to all the places in us that we want to keep hidden. Your word has power to reach there with the light of Christ. Father, I pray today as we go to small groups that you will open up our hearts, not just to our own stories, but to the stories of others. And Lord, give us eyes to see you in flesh in every single person that we encounter today in our small groups, in our families, in the going about life, that we experience you through other people, and that other people experience you through us. Father, we ask that you bless us and keep us, that you make your face to shine upon us, that you be gracious to us, that you lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace, that we may carry light and peace to a world that needs it. We thank you. We thank you for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we can pray. Amen. You can go now. Or you can sit here. That's fine, too.